our advice and our position is that football may continue to be played across Australia at the moment, but it must adhere not only to the government directions, but we will go further and introduce some stricter guidelines, which would come into effect today, 16 March. And these guidelines will be distributed to our football community.
So that was a little bit of James Johnson, the FFA CEO, talking about their advice is that football can continue to be played. Michael Lynch, the Age chief soccer writer, joins me. Welcome to you, Michael. Great to have you on the program. Thanks for your time.
Yes, Twain, hope you're well, and all your listeners.
I'm lucky enough to be well at the moment. He said our advice is that football can continue to be played. Where does he get that advice from, Michael? Well, medical experts or government?
I'm here in Melbourne, so I certainly wasn't at that press conference in Sydney, and I couldn't ask that question myself. One can only assume that the advice they've been given is through their health and medical experts and from the government's health and medical expert team. And, you know, Johnson himself is a lawyer, so he would be across all the legal ramifications of this decision, as is Chris Nicu, the chairman of the FFA, is also a well-known lawyer in this city. So you would imagine that they've made this decision based on a combination of the medical advice from the highest levels plus their own legal assessment of the situation.
He said that they decided to keep playing, but their first consideration was their people and their stakeholders. So there's a bit of both to appease.
He's having a bet each way, isn't he? I mean, what do stakeholders mean? I mean, stakeholders could mean the fans, but it could also mean the broadcasters, the TV companies. Well, it certainly does. Club owners and a raft of different personnel who are not the players, who are the ones who are essentially initiating a body-to-body contact, you know, and probably those, who can we say who is at most risk? Everyone's at risk. You know, it's a decision that will have its critics and it will have its adherents. It's a decision that I think will perhaps and probably sooner rather than later be overtaken by events.
Yeah, and that's, I think, what most of us believe, that it will be overtaken by events. So all sport in Australia might be shut down because of the overtaking by the events of what's happening in society. But right now, Michael, it sounds as if the players want to play. I presume that if the players didn't want to play, they wouldn't have to play, and they're electing to keep playing.
Well, the PFA were part of the group, John Didelitzer, who I did a story today. John's a very eloquent and smart man, another lawyer who's running the players' union, ex-player, and he was pretty disgusted at the situation that was allowed to develop yesterday. They had actually sought assurances from the government, the federal government, before they even left the country, that they would not run into exactly what's happened. So they're not happy about that. The fact that Victory couldn't get back here in time and must go into quarantine. But the players' union was consulted. Now, one has to assume that they are representative of the playing body. But like every group, trade union or representative body, you know, for a group of people, there'll be some more than others who perhaps are in favour of a course of action and some who aren't. I certainly know, no names, no pack drill, but I know a few players who really don't really want to be playing. But, you know, as you said, the union is merely one stakeholder amongst many.
So if the players in the A-League don't play, do they still get paid?
Yeah, one assumes so. They sign contracts and in good faith. Now, it's like everything in life, Dwayne, I guess if... Well, we don't call them acts of God anymore, do we, in our secular society? We now invoke the French phrase force majeure, you know, yep, to talk about things that are beyond expectation or beyond normal as a way in which circumstances can change to, if you like, wipe out agreements that were hitherto entered into. So unless there's a declaration of force majeure over this and contracts are nulled and voided or negotiations take place to change the parameters of those contracts, you'd expect the players would still be asking to be paid.
And all the remaining games will be played in Australia, even if New Zealand has to stay here till grand final day.
Wellington have said that, again, there's plenty of Wellington players are not very happy about this idea. You know, they haven't named any, but the club have said that while the coaching staff and some and a number of players are happy, some are not. I mean, Ulysses Davila, who's their trophy Mexican creative playmaker. I mean, his wife, he was going to go to Mexico because his wife was giving birth, but he stayed in Wellington because he didn't want to travel. I believe that's what they were saying on the commentary yesterday. Yeah. And so the Wellington plan is to relocate the team and the squad and the coaches to Sydney and basically play all their games in Sydney. I mean, if they weren't second or third on the ladder, I doubt they'd do that. But because it's their chance to really win the title, they probably feel they've got to give it every shot. What kind of a title it's going to be and how big an asterisk over this season is going to be remains to be seen. But there'll be an asterisk of some sort, won't there?
Absolutely. Now, the Victoria and Phoenix players have to go into isolation for a couple of weeks, but they have to go in isolation from each other as well. So they won't be able to train together or do anything together.
No training. Yep, no training, no liaison, no working on set piece routines, no working on shape, team defensive structures, nothing. In fact, they'll have to stay in their own homes. So, you know, I mean, I don't know how many of them would have gyms in their homes, whether Wellington are going to have to sort of try and take over a small hotel with a gym, maybe. Yeah. I don't know. You know, the Victory players will, I believe, be allowed to go home and stay at home. But that causes problems. I mean, you know, you look at, I know several of those Victory players, Lee Brookson's the captain, he's got young triplicates, you know. And some of the boys are very young in that squad. They're probably living at home with their parents. Mm. So that then creates big issues for their parents and their wider family. So, you know, it's just unprecedented waters, isn't it? And I guess everyone's got to show a bit of toleration and understanding and accept that these are circumstances that we're, in a way, making it all up as we're going along.
And before I let you go, what's going to happen with Liverpool and the EPL season? Are they still hoping to play the remainder of the games once shutdown's done?
Yeah, they shut it down until April the 4th, but you've got to be worried, won't you, really, that, you know, there's going to be a resumption. I wouldn't, you know, it's another 2 weeks. What if things don't improve? And Britain's taking a very different attitude, I think, in terms of isolation and public treatment of this. There's a suggestion that the British government are kind of trying to build what they call herd immunity by not forcing people into isolation along the basis of, let a lot of people get it and then build an immunity as a result. So if that happens, it's a big gamble. And if that turns out wrong and they end up with spiralling death tolls, you'd have to think that everything will be off, all bets will be off, including the Premier League. But I'm no Liverpool fan, but it would be churlish not to award them the title now, wouldn't it?
You'd think so, but obviously they're keeping their fingers crossed and hoping for the best, as we all have, as we've watched this thing spiral the way it has. We've been keeping our fingers crossed for months now, and unfortunately, the dream where the whole world's just gotten over it hasn't quite arrived for us just yet.
No, that's right. You're a Liverpool man, aren't you, Dwayne?
No, I think the way that they've dominated the season, though, it would be crazy not to give them the title. But
Well, people will always remember them at this season. So anyway, whatever happens this season will go down in memory. I mean, I haven't gone back through history. I'm just wondering, in 1920, the Spanish flu was a global pandemic, which I think killed 50 million people just after World War One globally. It either infected 50 million or killed 50 million or something, or infected hundreds of millions. And I don't know what happened in the equivalent of the first division then. I don't know what happened in the AFL, but you'd have to expect that players would have contracted it. And I was talking to my brother in England about this yesterday, and he said that was a much more virulent strain. He said people were getting it and dying within 2 days, 3 days. So maybe we should be grateful for tiny mercies.
On that positive note, Michael, I'll read more of your stuff in The Age as I'm leaving work. You can check out Michael Lynch's work in The Age, chief soccer writer, theage.com.au. Thanks, Michael. Great to have a chat to you.
Cheers, Dwayne. Bye.
Michael Lynch saying that we could only have days left.